on July 25th, and you're listening to Good Morning Atlanta on Business Radio X, a proud 2012 member of Central Atlanta Progress. Learn more about Central Atlanta Progress at atlantadowntown.com. I'm Dana Barrett.
And I'm Elizabeth Gordon.
And we are getting down to business today, as usual. We've got a great-looking group in the studio today. We have two regulars back for their second time in
here. Two of our favorite guests.
I know. So it's like we're actually not scaring people away as much as we thought we were. It's kind of amazing. We have Dan Williams from Central Atlanta Progress with us, and he has brought along Tracy Lyon Mercado from the Ellis Hotel, who was on our Southern Hospitality show just a couple weeks ago. And we are thinking that we're going to have Tom Key from Theatrical Outfit joining us in a minute, too.
And I believe that's him walking in just now.
He's making a grand entrance, and we appreciate that.
That's what actors are known for,
right?
So
a theatrical entrance. So we'll see if he...
True to form.
That's right. We'll see if he rounds the bend. But we will get to all of our lovely guests in a minute and find out what's going on in their worlds. But first, we're going to go over to Elizabeth, as always, for our Atlanta business headlines. So, Elizabeth, what is going on around town?
Well, Governor Nathan Deal announced that the state will honor a pledge to end tolls on Georgia 400 that have been in place since the highway was extended through Buckhead 2 decades ago.
Okay, so I know we're supposed to be doing headlines in a report, but can we talk about that a little bit?
Right. With just 7 days left in the transportation tax referendum campaign, this is a big headline to come out, so they're finally going to honor this promise.
I'm going to have to get Dan to weigh in on this because I'm confused by this a little bit. You know, this is the whole thing about the tolls, the 50-cent toll going away.
Sure.
And that was the promise, and I get that everybody was pissed off that they were going to take back a promise.
Sure.
And so now they're going to do what they said and take away the 50-cent toll, but don't we need that money?
Well,
I mean, I'm confused by that.
I don't speak for the state or the Department of Transportation. Obviously, that has been a contentious matter, and it's been one that the opposition to T-SPOST has certainly brought up repeatedly. This idea that, you know, we can't trust the government because they told us that the toll was going away on 400 and it hasn't. So I understand that, you know, the governor made that as a promise, made that promise during the campaign, his campaign, and so now he has made good on that promise. And hopefully that will quell some of that concern that we can't trust the government to follow through. You know, as far as T-SPOST, I think the reality is it's a completely different matter altogether. And those that were bringing up the 400 piece throughout this discussion were really misguided in bringing up that sort of anecdotal example. It's really not a related matter at all, other than they both have to do with transportation.
Yeah, well, I think the reason I think it's sort of wacky is that so the 50 cents per car that drives through there either direction, ostensibly that money would be good to help with the Georgia roads that are a disaster.
Well, let's make it clear here that if we don't pass the transportation referendum, we're going to see a lot of toll roads and hot lanes.
See, this is why I also think it's so weird, because what did they just opened up the new toll lanes on 85 and wherever, where you're going to pay, where you're paying anyway. So what difference does it make? They're just going to put it back on 400 in another 2 years, right?
I don't speak for the state.
So wacky.
And so I don't know. I don't know if that's the case or not. I can't say. What I do know is that yes, the money has to come from somewhere to pay for these essential infrastructure needs and maintenance, and what we really need is actual improvements. It's one thing to just kind of do the bare minimum and maintain a status quo and allow traffic to get worse, allow transportation problems to get worse. It's a whole nother thing to actually be forward thinking and make progress and prepare for the future, and that's what T-SPOST is about.
Right.
If we don't pass it, then yeah, we're gonna have to do some of these things some way, and toll lanes and hot lanes and things that people really don't like is what we're gonna see a lot of.
So anybody
that tells you I'm not supporting this because I want to pay less, or I want GDOT managing my my transportation money. Well, you know, it's the best thing to do is to remind them that a no vote is the best way to ensure that the things they don't want to happen will happen.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we definitely are going to talk a little bit more about this as we go on with the show, but let's get back to the headlines.
Well, actually, before we continue with the news, why don't we properly introduce our third guest, who did make a grand theatrical entrance
here. What I do.
Tom Key, who is the executive artistic director over at Theatrical Outfit, right in the heart of downtown. Welcome, Tom,
Thank
to
you.
The show. We're glad to have you here.
Absolutely.
All right, continuing with the news, NCR is upgrading SunTrust Bank's ATMs in more than 1,600 spots. They will now have one slot instead of two slots to put the money in.
That's very exciting.
Isn't that? Also, speaking of SunTrust, Q2 profits rose to $275 million. The company generated a 54% jump in their second quarter profits.
Wow.
The new Yahoo CEO, Marissa Mayer, I don't know if you've heard much about her, Dana, her compensation package could be worth over $71 million over the next 5 years.
Wow.
And could top $120 million. So maybe we're in the wrong business.
I think we are. But I also think we should see if we can befriend her and get her on the show.
Yes.
Maybe she'll buy us coffee.
That would be a good
move. With her $71
million. All right. Speaking of small businesses here in Atlanta, Atlanta has the eighth most small businesses in the U.S., one of 11 American cities with over 100,000 or more small businesses. Metro Atlanta has 125,966 small businesses and ranks number eighth among American metropolises. These businesses represent 97.5% of all Atlanta business.
That is amazing. And it's interesting because I was having an off-the-cuff conversation with somebody who shall remain unnamed the other day, and they were talking about one of our, not Central Atlanta Progress, but one of our other in-town organizations that is basically ignoring small business. And I think that's a problem because a lot of, you know, services, people know what to do with big businesses. They know what big businesses need. But because small businesses are so different one to the next, they all have different needs.
Right.
And it's so much harder
to serve.
They need
a very individualized approach.
Yeah. So anyway.
In order to provide value.
Thank goodness for Central Atlanta Progress.
Now, it has been hot in Hotlanta lately. And the W's Midtown Rooftop Pool has been ranked among the nation's best.
Can I ask
so
who,
if you're looking for a place to cool off and towel down, check out the W
but
Rooftop.
Who gets that job? That they get to go around to all the rooftop pools and figure out which one is and rank them. I want that job. Don't you want that job, Tom? Come on.
I do.
You know you do. Tracy already's like, I'm in line for that job. That's in her industry and everything.
Now, Tucker-based Lehigh Technologies, Inc. has raised $5 million through an investment round led by a Washington, D.C.-based green technology venture fund. And customer management outsourcing firm Alorica plans to add more than 1,000 new jobs in Kennesaw, Georgia by the end of the year.
Wow.
Additionally, Community and Southern Bank picked up two failed Georgia institutions in a deal assisted by regulators late last week. And Coca-Cola Enterprises announced that their Q2 profits are down 17%.
So banking up, down. Gotcha.
Help out.
Check.
And that is the news for Atlanta.
That's exciting. That's good news, mostly.
Yeah.
I always like when we're ranked somewhere. I like to talk about our rankings.
Absolutely.
It's always fun.
It's good to see us appearing on the national scene for various awards, even if it's just a pool.
Much better than being like 49th in the country for traffic or whatever that one was.
We'll get to the transportation rankings later.
Yeah, we'll come back to that. We've already griped about that on the show many, many times. But so let's talk to our guests a little bit, and I think we're going to have to go to you last, Dan, because
totally
I know we're just going to get into traffic again when we get to you.
Traffic jam ahead.
All right. So I think, what do you think? Should we start with Tracy or Tom? Ladies first, or what do you want to do?
Yeah, let's bring Tracy on for giving us an update of what else is going on at the Ellis. I have a feeling the two of them probably.
Yeah, well, we're really excited because we just got it approved, but we're going to be making some changes at the hotel.
Wow.
And we're going to add meeting rooms and change the terrace out, and still going to be the terrace, but it's going to have a different look, a different vibe, same farm-to-table concept, But now it's going to allow us to have meeting space for up to 40 people for theater style, and or 80 for theater and 40 for classroom, and then like up to 100 for a reception. So for a little boutique hotel, it's really, really exciting.
That is. Sure. So what type of build-out effort is involved in making those changes?
September 10th is the day.
Wow.
So we go down September 10th, and then hopefully by November 23rd, right before the citywide comes in December for Ash.
So does the restaurant close while that's happening?
Or? Nope.
Okay.
We'll keep
just close off a little section
just close
or something.
Off a section. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. So
good,
we're really excited, and that the fact that the owners are yet again going to be reinvesting in the hotel.
Yeah.
So it's great. Good news.
Yeah. As a salesperson, how does that sort of change your what you have to offer?
Oh yeah, that's a lot more pressure.
Yeah.
bring in the rooms.
Yeah. Yeah. And what about like for when people are coming in to do stuff like that and they need services in there, because that's a whole other avenue, right, of catering and whatever
right.
else
well, what's
you need.
Exciting about it when you're talking about adding jobs, not only would the existing people that we still have continue to have their jobs, it's going to be more hours, and it's going to mean that we need to hire more people to
right.
service these groups.
Right.
So it's all good.
All
it's
positive.
All very exciting. Yeah.
That is good.
Growth is good.
Growth is good. So you said it's going to be done in November?
The end of November.
That's fast.
Yeah, really fast.
Are you going to be like having your fingers crossed the entire time that it goes on schedule?
Yeah, it has to be done by December 6th no matter what, because we've got 120 people to serve for breakfast each day from Germany.
Uh-oh. You better be ready.
Wow.
We'll send them over here.
There you go. We'll take care of them. No worries.
No problem.
I'll make them all a donut. From Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah.
Let's not kid anybody. I won't be making anything. And so will there be some kind of grand opening type celebration?
There will. So we're just like, honestly, yesterday was the call that we went over everything for 2.5 hours and all the plans are drawn and I'm getting boards and things of that nature.
Cool.
And then we'll start a PR campaign around it and get the awareness going. And once it's built out, then we'll have our normal soirees that we love to have.
Excellent.
So you'll all be coming over and we'll be toasting.
Excellent.
And then, we'll show it off and then hopefully hit the ground running for January.
Sounds
great. Great. So this is like hot breaking news. You're hearing it first.
I'm probably going to be like, go back to the hotel and how did you go about saying that when the employees don't even know yet? Whoops.
Yeah. Well, you know, we like to know things first here. That's why we're on the radio.
That's
right. What else is going on over there? Anything?
No,
summer's going okay so far?
Summer's going okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Right.
What is with these, I can't even pronounce them, kazoot bugs? I say they're the love bugs of Florida in Atlanta. What are those?
Well, they sort of look like...
ladybugs.
They look like
they're
ladybugs,
gross.
But they're black or something. Or
Yeah
they're all over the place. So,
oh, really? Is this like a new summer tenant of downtown?
I don't know. I can't like say that.
Might
in four
be the closest
years,
thing
I've
to a plague
them,
we experience here in Atlanta, Georgia.
I want to check out these bugs. Where can one find one?
Apparently, when you're walking outside,
they usually end up on
you.
My
they
hair.
They fly on you. They find you.
All right.
Ew.
Or my shirt. Yeah. They're. Yeah. They like to. They like to nestle. Get real close and you know. They're very friendly little creatures.
Yeah, they're
kind of like
the
X-Men version of ladybugs.
Yeah, I'm sort of horrified right now.
They're shaped the same way, but they're all dressed in black.
Really? Oh, is that what they... Okay.
I think they're kind of classy.
X-Men version of ladybugs. I like that. Of course, you think of it as a costume.
I do.
Right.
Makes sense.
Well, just the name of these bugs. What are they? Kazoo?
Oh, I don't know.
Kazoo.
You're asking the wrong guy.
I don't know, but I think you should keep trying because it's pretty funny.
Like you can be walking and they just fly on you, and then I've just never experienced anything like it.
But they're not dangerous, right? They don't
sting
you.
I know
they come one at a time.
Okay.
Yeah, how long do they last? Through August?
I've never.
I think so.
Okay. Tom is now the bug expert.
Like I know something about it.
Very scientific.
Maybe we should talk about something Tom does know.
Right.
Not
the
bugs,
theater.
Okay.
Not bugs.
Yeah, let's talk about the theater. So, Tom, let's put the spotlight on you, the radio spotlight.
All right.
So, tell us about Theatrical Outfit.
Well, it's great to be here. We're now about to start our eighth season in the Balzer Theater Terrence, America's first screen theater. Speaking of rankings, this is the first green theater in the country.
Wow.
And also, it was the place of the former Heron's restaurant, the first restaurant to voluntarily integrate, and the first African Americans to eat there, Dr. Lee and Dolores Shelton, are now subscribers and patrons to Theatrical Outfit.
Cool.
And beginning tonight, we have a wonderful, wonderful show. One of the things that I'm particularly proud of that we do at Theatrical Outfit is bring to life some of these aspects of our culture here in the American South that might be lost. And what's beginning tonight is called The Adventures of High John the Conqueror. You might not have heard of High John the Conqueror, but he was an African prince who was sold into slavery and gained his freedom just by the power of his imagination. He would trick his masters. And so stories about him became legendary, kind of like Johnny Appleseed. And people would use his stories to gain power over their masters. And today, anyone who's tried to negotiate with someone who's about to get a parking ticket written because their meter ran out 10 seconds before will understand the benefit of being able to overpower the tyrannies in our life. And it's created by Rob Cleveland, a nationally known comedian and a wonderful stage actor. He did Hoke for us in Driving Miss Daisy. And Eric J. Little, who won a Susie Award last year for his performance in Superior Donuts. They're going to be recreating these African folk tales. And what's particularly enjoyable about this is one show that very small children or very chronologically gifted adults can come to see. It's really like the stories of High John the Conqueror were for the whole village, and this is for the whole community. It begins tonight and runs through August the 12th. And then we start our 2012-2013 season with My Name is Asher Lev in concert with the Decatur Book Festival. We have a world premiere by Bill Balzer, for whom the theater is named, 2-drink minimum, because that's how many drinks he needed to call his mother. And then we're doing, for the first time, a new signature holiday show for Theatrical Outfit, a musical adaptation of O. Henry's classic story, The Gifts of the Magi.
Cool.
Which is going to be wonderful, wonderful. And the cast is just fabulous. And then we're doing an exciting new play that was commissioned by Lincoln Center Theater about the Tuskegee Airmen called Fly. The New York Times review for it said, let me cut to the quick, Fly blew me away. And it evokes the sense of flying through a narrative tap dancer. There's this choreography that the actors do, and there's a tap dancer that through the rhythms of the tap make the audience feel like they're flying. It's going to be so exciting.
Wow.
And then we end with a world premiere musical by Mark St. Germain, who wrote Freud's Last Session that we did to great success. It's now a worldwide hit. And he and his partner, John Marcus, who we met when they were writing for The Cosby Show, have written a show about a barbershop quartet who at the regional finals has their tenor drop dead from a heart attack. So they have to find a new tenor really quickly, and they get a Pakistani Sikh. So it's really about how do you create harmony among people who are not alike, and it's called The Fabulous Lipitones. And I think
that
it's going to be a fabulous end to a fabulous season.
Very cool. So how do people get all the information on this? Because I'm sure they weren't able to write as fast as I was writing.
Exactly.
And so where's the website and how do they find
you? You can visit www.theatricaloutfit.org,
That's easy.
An outfit of clothes, theatricaloutfit.org, or call 877-725-8849.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Now, Tom, you talked about the LEED Certified Green Theater. How did whose thought was it, this idea of being really a leader in the environmental space in terms of building out the theater itself?
It was part of the culture of Theatrical Outfit. One of our big commitments is, like the Ellis Hotel, one reason I love dining there.
Right.
Is that we are committed to the local artists who live here and who work on a world-class level. And we have built a world-class theater which really showcases the actors that we have here. One of the most frequent compliments I get is, where did you get these actors from? They just assume that they have been flown in from L.A. and New York. And so it's getting to see like a world-class pianist play on a first-rate instrument. So we have this culture of committing to the local artist, and with a global reach. And we have many visitors from out of the country or out of state who come in and visit. So one of our donors for the Capital Campaign when we were building and opening the Balzer Theater Terrence in 2005 educated me to the opportunity that we might could apply for LEED certification to the U.S. Green Building Council, and that there wasn't another theater in the country that had earned this status. And we didn't know if we could do it or not. We didn't know if we were going to have the money, but we committed to building green, because a theater needs clean, quiet air. We need quiet air because of the acoustics. Mm-hmm. And our acoustics are just wonderful. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution, Creative Loafing, and Access Atlanta all said this was the best place to see a play because the sight lines, the acoustics are so concentrated on for you to be able to attend the play. And also because it's a public place and the actors are using their voices, you need to have that clean air, both for the public and for our actors, so that we all remain healthy. And people... I think the two comments I hear the most about the Balzer Theater at Herons is, one, there's not a bad seat in the house. There's 200 seats. It's very intimate. And secondly, I feel so welcome here. And I think that's because we built green. If you put on a 100% cotton shirt, you might not have read the label to tell you that, but you can feel it.
You can tell.
And the same thing with the Balzer Theater at Herons. You can feel that this is a welcome place to gather and listen to a story that will stir your soul.
So, Tracy, wow. How about that for...
Yeah, I'm there.
I know, me too. I'm like, let's go.
I want to find the prince. I want to...
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, sticking to those types of green principles, I mean, I guess you're both seeing in the marketplace more people wanting that type of experience and wanting to be in a place that has made that commitment and investment.
And it is a huge investment.
Clean...
Mm-hmm. It is. And the human scale, too. I can feel when I walk across downtown, it's great. Of course, a city center has got to have the skyscrapers and the big buildings, and that's exciting and essential in any city center. But that wonderful human scale, the Fairleigh Poplar District in which the Ellis and Theatrical Outfit reside, that's a wonderful thing. The visitors that we get to Theatrical Outfit are going to not only part, but they're going to have dinner. They're going to eat after the show. They stay at the Ellis. We have many guests coming from out of town, make it a whole package.
They do. They love it. They love that whole environment.
Mm-hmm.
All the people that stay on the women's floor go on over to see a show while they're here.
The
I think you should include some tickets, you know. Just saying. You guys should work something out special for the women. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited about these meeting rooms. I'm already.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
You're already thinking like,
well, the brains are going.
Exactly. Receptions or something you could do over there. I just pulled up the website just for giggles. It's a good looking website too. So
thank you.
Don't be afraid to go there, people.
Just also mention that the Ellis and Theatrical Outfit and Fairleigh Poplar and downtown as a whole, the Peachtree Cinema MARTA station has now opened up the escalators, and that's I believe.
Oh, do they really? Oh,
well, I haven't. You mean the ones right behind us?
They have been boarded up.
I haven't seen that.
Okay, so I believe if they're not open now, they will be open very soon. And this is something that's been going on for
a long time,
but probably years. As long as any of us can really remember. Those escalators have been down, and if they're not open now, they're in very short order they will be open. So that's a really big thing for this area, the tourists, the visitors, people coming to Theatrical Outfit for a play, and being able to take MARTA to those shows, and obviously MARTA is green, so taking public transit is green. So
that's right.
All that we can
in
do
in keeping
to
with the entire theme here today,
right, tying it all together, right?
Efficiently transported in a green manner, right, all around this happening city.
Absolutely. Yes, you can be transported in a green manner to your farm to table restaurant and you know, green theater. It's good. It's all good.
We hear so often, we had a woman come in for a business conference from Australia, and she went to the kiosk to ask what was going on in town, and found out that we were opening To Kill a Mockingbird, came to our opening night. I met a couple who was buying their second round of tickets to Hank Williams' Lost Highway. They were from Norway. They just saw the title on the marquee, said that they used to listen to Hank Williams on Radio Free Europe. and another couple that came into town and asked, is there any theater in this town? And they told them about Theatrical Outfit, walked right around the corner. That human scale, small, local, 200 intimate seat theater, the Boutique, Ellis Hotel, I think that those are those human scale pleasures and discoveries in visiting a city that make downtown really, really unique in the entire area.
Yeah.
Now, Tom, you've done a lot of work around the country in theater through, you know, your career.
Right.
How would you compare Atlanta's scene to some of the other the theater scenes that you've seen around the country?
That's a great question. I've been working in the theater professionally as an actor for over 30 years. I've been artistic director at Theatrical Outfit for 17. And I've seen a great deal of theater. I performed off Broadway with the musical Cotton Patch Gospel that I wrote with the late Harry Chapin. I've lived and worked at the Dallas Theater Center for about 2 years. I performed Cotton Patch Gospel on international tour and was nominated for some awards in Los Angeles, and have seen a lot of theater in Chicago, Seattle, etc. And I think that Atlanta, and this is a very, very important message, I think that we have built and have been building in large part because of the Metropolitan Atlanta Arts Fund, which supports and stabilizes small to medium-sized arts and culture organizations. We are at poised for where we could become known for the theater community that we have here. The fact that we have a rich, diverse, high-quality theater community here in Atlanta is a fact. We could very well be at the brink of this becoming nationally known because we have the talent pool, we have the support from funders, we get good support in the press and the media, and I think we're just waiting for a tipping point. A lot of other cities can have a very protective insular kind of culture of competition among theaters. And one thing that's really unique about the Atlanta theaters, I think is unique about the American South, is that this is truly a community. We're truly in communication, trying to do what's best for the Atlanta theater. But we all have such unique visions. You know, when you're at Theatrical Outfit or Actors Express or Horizon or Georgia Shakespeare or the Shakespeare Tavern, Seven Stages, True Colors, I could go on and on. We even have a theater company here dedicated to speaking in French without subtitles.
Okay.
So it's a great theater community that I think a city becomes great when it evolves from not just being a consumer of art, but to a producer of art. So
that's a really
good
point.
We have three world premieres at Theatrical Outfit just this year, starting tonight with High John the Conqueror. And so that's not just taking what other communities have developed. We're contributing to the dramatic canon, to the industry, to the community.
Now, will that show go other places after it's at your theater?
Very likely.
Okay.
Brownie Points, which we did, has now had a production in Seattle and San Diego.
Wow.
Highly successful play by Janice Schaefer. About five women, two black, one Jewish, who take 14 of their first grade girls to an overnight camp out in Forsyth County. And the two African-American women are assigned the cooking and cleaning, and comedy ensues, but very, very provocative. And we had a discussion after every single production, and I thought, I don't think there's a better discussion going on about race in the country.
Wow.
So it's a really, really vital theater community. And the Green Book, Keeping Watch, the world premieres that we're doing this year, Two Drink Minimum, the Fabulous Lipitones. Mark St. Germain has a new one-person show that is likely headed for Broadway, a one-person show on Dr. Ruth.
Oh, wow.
so we're really part of the national scene. Atlanta's a big player, and I think the best is yet to come.
That's really cool. I have a vested interest in the theater.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic. And it's amazing how art allows you to delve into topics that you might not be able to bring up casually over dinner. And yet you can all go out to the theater and really have this new perspective.
That's
on,
exactly
on
right.
Life.
Yeah. I think one thing that it does is it gives the audience a story on which we all agree. Cultural psychologists tell us that laughter is the primal sign of agreement. And so after Brownie points, we, as either beige people or brown people, couldn't hide behind our stories of, well, they just don't know what I've experienced.
Right.
Because we've all attended to and applauded and laughed at this story. So we can have a really honest discussion of the way that it really is and make progress. It's kind of like every night, 200 people for a couple of hours become a little community.
Yeah.
When we agree on how it is to be a human being, whether it's comedy or drama.
Well, I love that you have discussions about it, too. I think the culture is getting so used to kind of book club discussions, like we're going to experience art in some way in a book, and then we're going to get together and probably drink some wine and talk about it.
Right.
But I think that doing that with theater is exceptional because, first of all, you don't have to worry about reading the book. You just show
exactly.
up.
Exactly.
So, you know.
Exactly.
But, I mean, I think having those kind of dialogues, I just finished reading a fairly controversial-ish book, and I got it done, and I was like, I got to get my book club to read this because I'm dying to talk to somebody about it.
Yes.
And I think that's the same thing that happens when you walk out of a movie or a theater, and if you don't have that opportunity to sit down, if your spouse or your girlfriends or whatever are not the type that want to talk about it, you're sitting there frustrated because
right, your mind's been opened up and you've got all these new ideas and thoughts, and yeah, you want to.
That's exactly right.
Talk.
John Patrick Shaley, who wrote Doubt, said that the second act is when people are talking about it afterward, and I think that's absolutely right.
Yeah,
it's actually part of our mission to create the kind of plays that will provoke thoughtful discussion.
Yeah.
Because the more, the healthier our civic discourse is, the better informed citizenry we're going to have and the better world we're going to have.
All right. Now here, I'm always trying to think. So after the play, then you could have like a wine and cheese discussion over at the Ellis.
Absolutely. Right. From a local farm.
Yeah.
Right. After being provoked and stimulated and entertained by local actors.
That's right. We could have like dessert and coffee and discussion at the Ellis.
Yeah, Tracy, tell us how a night at the Ellis would fit into our night at the theater.
We actually do that. We've worked together very well.
Yes,
and we do the pre-dinner before they go to the theater, and then they go and see the show. And they've come back, and then they do have the desserts and the coffee, and there is a lot of chatter going on.
That's very cool.
It's pretty perfect.
Yeah, that is really cool. So tonight is the brand new show opening. Hi,
That's
John
right.
the Conqueror.
That's right.
Theatricaloutfit.org for tickets.
That's
is that
right.
the way to get tickets?
That's right.
Excellent.
And who's the lead in this one?
It's two actors, wonderful, wonderful actors. Rob Cleveland, who has a national reputation as a comedian, and he's also a fabulous actor. He performed for us Master Harold and the Boys, and then Hoke in Driving Miss Daisy, and he played Mr. Green in The Green Book. And Eric J. Little was a huge success in Superior Donuts, beat me out of a Susie Award, but I was glad and proud that Eric won that Susie Award. He really, really deserved it. And for us at Theatrical Outfit, he was in G's Bend, that we did, as well as an unforgettable performance in A Lesson Before Dying.
Yeah.
One of our specialties, not only in the artists that we hire, but also our aesthetic roots are here in the American South, because this is a part of the world that is so rich in history, in music, in storytelling. Our trademark is that we tell stories that stir the soul. So of the 80 plays that I produced since 1995 at Theatrical Outfit, 50 of them have been by authors or composers here in the American South. The others are those which best evoke discussion on the most important ideas of the times. Once I was invited to be part of the BBC roundtable discussing immigration. There was about 30 people, and it was recorded at Ebenezer Church, because when immigration was such a hot topic, not that it's not a hot topic now, but when it was in the headlines literally about every other day, we had about 18 months before that planned to do a play called The Immigrant, which was about the first Jewish refugees in the early 20th century to flee Russia and ended up in a small town in Texas, taken in by two Southern Baptists. And it was a wonderful, wonderful play. And I think for a theater artistic director to be invited to the table on a discussion about immigration is a great model for the benefit of paying attention to the local, what's of concern to us here in the Atlanta area, particularly downtown in the DNA, as A.J. Robinson calls it, for the rest of the community. Because those themes, if we're honest and clear and rigorous about them here, it's going to resonate with people all around the world.
Yeah. Yeah. Getting back briefly to the all around the world part. So when a play does start here and move, how does that happen? Like, what's the process to actually get it to be somewhere else? Does someone from another city come and see it? Do they read about it? How does that happen?
Right. There are many, many different paths of how plays take to evolve and go further. And it's always a combination of a number of things. One is a good critical response, a good box office response, which indicates there's a resonance about the topic and
right.
the subject matter. And it's practical in that it's not 45 people in the cast or, you know, 18 different sets. In other words, it's practical for producers to make happen off-Broadway or on-Broadway or on tour or in an international exchange, or that eventually schools and amateur companies could produce it.
Right.
When I did Cotton Patch Gospel, it started as a one-person show, and I was touring the country with it. And I did a season at the Alabama Shakespeare Festival, met a director who knew some producers. One of the producers bought the rights to bring it off Broadway. He was on the board with Harry Chapin, who was at the peak of his success with Cats in the Cradle. He came to see me do a little version of it in a studio in the Minskoff building in New York. And 6 months later, we were opening off Broadway.
Wow.
And then it went on tour. And so it can happen in many ways. Margaret Edson, who won a Pulitzer for Wit, who lives here and teaches at Inman School, it took, I think, at least 5 years, if not more, for that play to be picked up. And after its initial premiere, it's never just a short, straight, completely start here, go in a straight line upward.
Of course, like anything.
Right, exactly.
I mean, you see the celebrities and you think, oh, that guy was just nothing and now he's a star. But it never is when you really look behind the curtain. That's not how it happened.
Yeah,
at
my
all.
Overnight success,
yeah,
30
really.
Years in the making.
Right,
right, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure we could talk to you. I bet you have a lot of great stories. We might have to have you back so we can get more of your stories.
I'd love to.
In the meantime, I want to ask you both about one of the big downtown issues, and I'm going to use it as a segue to get over to Dan in a second. But parking is always a concern for people, especially people in the burbs who don't know downtown and they're coming in. They're sort of afraid to come downtown because they don't know where to park.
Yes.
And certainly the MARTA station opening will be helpful. But what about the parkers? What do they do?
You're exactly right. That is one of our primary, it's one of the primary obstacles and challenges that we have
yep.
in people coming downtown. I actually had someone who was very resistant to our move from the 14th Street Playhouse to downtown at the Rialto before we built the Bolster Theater at Herons. Become very defensive and say, it's not that I have a problem with going downtown. I was just at the governor's mansion last week.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it can show you how
okay.
we have some really big obstacles that people never even consider.
Yeah.
They just have this idea of downtown and how difficult it is to park. But every time that they make the first venture downtown, the fact is, the parking is a whole lot more affordable and more plentiful than it is in the Midtown area. I mean, you can come and park, and people are kind of amazed when they do it for the first time.
Yeah.
And then any place we're going to, and I'm this way, when I don't know how to get somewhere, it's going to seem like it's going to be difficult.
Yeah.
But once I do it one time, then I see how easy it is.
Yeah.
But the... And, of course, it's part of living in a city. Yes, there is there are the obstacles and the challenges, but this the benefit is you get the world-class quality of the kind of theater that we have in a very diverse... One of the exciting parts to me about going to the theater, there's a kind of an anonymity in going to a, you know, a 12-plex movie theater. But you come to a theater, there's one performance that day, maybe two if there's a matinee, and there's really a sense of community that you have with people. And you know that all these, particularly in downtown, I think we have one of the most diverse audiences in Atlanta because of our location.
Yeah.
And it's, so what I tell people is that parking is plentiful and it's very, very affordable. Or they can do MARTA and walk.
Right. Depending on where they're coming from, if it's easy for them to get to MARTA. But yeah, but you're right. I think there are a lot of surface parking lots. There's a lot of parking here. It's just you kind of have to keep your eye out and sort of figure out which one is the most affordable or whatever, but it's here.
Right. And the ambassadors are extremely helpful.
Yeah,
and we
right.
have a 6'7" house manager who's one of our great assets, Wendell Johnson. And he makes everybody feel so welcome. They talk about, oh, the seats are wonderful, and then there's Wendell Johnson. So, you know, park at Theatrical Outfit and get welcomed by our wonderful house manager for a great evening of theater.
And I know, Tracy, you guys have valet parking, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, if they come and eat at the terrace, then we validate for $5. So you can come, have a small bite, small plate, mm-hmm. walk down to the theater, valet park your car for $5. I mean, you can't beat it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Very cool. So that's easy. And that's very easy to find because I think you can actually see the signs for the valet parking right on Peachtree. You can see it right as you're passing the Ellis.
Mm-hmm.
So speaking of things that have to do with cars, Dan.
Sure.
Well, I mean, Central Atlanta Progress has done, you know, been making improvements in this whole Farley Poplar district for many, many years now. We've seen various phases of improvement. Let's talk about what's coming up in terms of what CAP is working on.
Sure. Well, yeah, streetscape improvements all over downtown. Marietta Street, Simpson, now Peachtree, the hotel district. If you haven't been downtown lately, you really need to, you know, I would say it's great to travel around by car and experience a street like Marietta, the way Marietta looks now with the amazing streetscape improvements with the median. There's now a median with trees, and
they've been doing a lot of work.
And then, but also, you know, by foot on as a pedestrian on Peachtree, where there's now planters and
planters.
Greenery, and you know, these things do a lot more than just make the street look better. They're actually real public safety. It's real public safety infrastructure. It keeps people from jaywalking. You know, there's so many tourists and folks, and a lot of people aren't used to a busy city street, and even people that are, you know, just get complacent and oftentimes think it's okay to just dart out in the middle of Peachtree in the middle of the day, and that's a pretty dangerous thing to do. So these planters actually save lives, and so you're seeing that all over the place. So a lot of people think that the city does these things, and it's actually the Atlanta Downtown Improvement District, and the way we're able to pay for that is through the business community here. So we don't care as much about who gets the credit. If you want to think the city did it, that's fine. But but the main thing for us is that these projects get done, and that the businesses see the benefits, but also that we have public safety benefits and a safer, vibrant, more aesthetically pleasing community.
It's funny because I think for people who don't come downtown that often. I know Elizabeth, she's very observant, and she said to me one day, did you see all the plants along the side of Peachtree? And I said, no. I mean, and I drive down Peachtree every day, and I didn't see it. But I think there's a sense, especially for people who don't come in that often, who may not notice a specific improvement,
right.
but they come downtown and they go, oh, you know, this is really nice. I forgot,
right.
or
right.
I didn't remember it being this right. nice before. And it's because it really wasn't. Right. And now it is.
Right.
But yeah, I think you just sort of see it like sure. without even realizing
right.
that
and
you're
and they're designed to fit in with the landscape. If they popped out and, you know, it was the first thing you noticed, well, then it's probably not the right, you know, it's probably not the best thing because we don't want you to notice the plants. We want you to notice the businesses and the theater and the Ellis Hotel and all
right.
the other you know, amenities that we have around them.
Sure.
They're really just kind of there in the environment to make it the environment safer and support the amenities that are already here.
Right.
Yeah.
But
all
right.
of those little touches are very right. nice in terms of quality of life and
right.
just quality of the overall cityscape.
Right. And I have
really
to say also,
well.
As it relates to, you mentioned the ambassadors earlier, Tom, and I have to say, like, when I first saw them, I think, you know, first time I was in downtown and saw these guys in the white hats, I thought, like, What? Who are these guys? Like, are they going to arrest me? What's going on? These people in white hats, they look friendly, but I don't know. So I think people should also maybe be aware that they are out there to help you. Like, they're out
Absolutely.
There keeping things safe, keeping an eye on things. If you need to walk someone to walk you to your car, they'll walk you to your car at night.
Exactly.
They'll give you directions. They're super friendly, and they're kind of everywhere.
You got a flat tire. If your car won't start, they
exactly.
do it all.
Yeah, so you know, don't be afraid of them. I'm just
yeah,
saying, don't
just
be
great.
Like me.
I was just walking back from the Hurt Building the other day, happily having received a major donation to Theatrical Outfit.
Sweet.
And I was walking back across the Woodruff Park. Now I work down here. We've been down here since '99, and I was so struck by all of a sudden all the planters, the unveiling of
yeah.
the new play structure.
Yep.
And I just sat down on a chair and just took it all in and took pictures. I just joined Instagram. And
cool.
I thought, this is just wonderful how it's just wonderful to see the evolution of the beautification of downtown,
yeah.
the
yeah.
re-beautification of it. It really is.
Right. Well,
vibrant.
It's setting the stage
right.
for
right.
what's
Tom,
coming next for Atlanta,
the
right?
Yeah.
Better.
Yeah, Tom mentions the new playground. This is awesome. If you haven't been to Woodruff Park lately, it had to be resodded for one. It had to resod after all the activity in the fall. But it is now open. The grass is open, as is this new playground, which is the recipient of a national design competition or international design competition rather, where we sought playground designers from all over the world to give us their best ideas, and we ended up with this really cool ATL structure. That's now being every time I pass by during the day, there's kids on it.
Awesome.
It's really sort of, you know, changed the look and feel of the park. It's in a really cool location where, you know, people coming up Auburn Avenue and down Peachtree, you know, it's right there, and it's just sort of kind of a welcome sign for downtown and the Fairleigh Poplar area.
It's a beautiful sculpture.
Yeah,
really.
Oh, yeah,
it's
really
like
cool.
the right. cherry on the sundae.
Yeah. Great.
All right.
Well, thanks.
Well, we are getting short on time, so before we wrap up altogether, I want to give you our in-town update. So, of course, as we've already mentioned, the big talk around town is the T-Splos transportation referendum, which will be going to a vote next Tuesday,
right?
July 31st. And, of course, you know, as we discussed, there are campaigns for and against, but for the most part, I think the downtown business community is for. So we say vote yes. You know, this is not straight up news here. We can have opinions. It's all good. And just remember that if it doesn't pass, there's going to be some projects that are just not going to get done for years and years and years.
Absolutely.
So we'll keep you posted on that.
Very important for
yes.
the city's future.
Yeah, for sure. But moving on to tastier items, don't forget that we are in the middle of Downtown Restaurant Week, which started July 21st and runs through the 29th. And it's, of course, a great opportunity to check out some of the amazing restaurants downtown for a great price, either $25 or $35 per person. And you just show up. You don't need coupons or anything like that. And you get treated to a great meal. For details on the participating restaurants and all of that, you want to go to atlantadowntown.com. Other events going on around town, of course, opening tonight, The Adventures of High John the Conqueror at
yes.
Theatrical Outfit. There's an Atlanta Crave Chat. I think that's here, right? At
yeah.
200 Peachtree. It's, again, Food Truck Wednesdays at Underground Atlanta, as every Wednesday. And there's a new program called Living with Lynching at the Cyclorama that opens tonight as well. Tomorrow, Aerosmith is playing at Phillips Arena, if anybody's into Aerosmith. And
Rock on.
I know, right? How fun is that? And there's also like a like a pre-drinking thing that you can do before that called Views and Brews, and it moves around. It's Rock 100.5 that sponsors it, and you get deals on drinks and stuff, and you can go there and even maybe win VIP tickets to go see Aerosmith. So if you don't have tickets yet and you want to try to win some, you can go check that out. There is also, if you want to stay on top of everything that Central Atlanta Progress is doing, you can go to the town hall meeting, which is tomorrow morning. Is that correct?
It is. Absolutely.
And it's at White Oak Kitchen?
White Oak Kitchen, this new restaurant concept. White Oak Kitchen and Cocktails is opened by Adeline LeBlanc and company. And might know his his restaurateur acumen from Max Lager's, and so they've opened up at the 270 Peachtree Building. And so tomorrow morning at 7:30, we'll have our town hall meeting. We're doing these twice a year now, so a good opportunity to come here, get some updates on public safety downtown, other things happening in downtown. The chairman of Citizen for Transportation Mobility, Dave Stockert, will be there giving us an update on the campaign. So you're going to hear it right from the horse's mouth there. Who better to hear about the campaign from? So it should be a great meeting.
Yeah, so do that because there's a lot of things that if you're trying to stay up on everything, sometimes it's hard. You get a little piece here, a little piece there, and this is kind of maybe a good way to get it all at one time. Right. And to have the people that have all the answers in one room, so you can walk up and ask them, hey,
right.
Dan,
and,
tell
right.
me
and
everything.
Check out the new restaurant.
Right, and right. Speaking of cherries on top, we actually have kids from Centennial Elementary who are going to come and lead us in the pledge.
Aww.
And so sweet. We're going to learn a little bit about Centennial Place Elementary as well. So I'm really, really excited. It's the first time we've ever done anything like that. So we'll get these little guys and girls out of class for about half an hour and
yeah. That's so cute.
That's great.
Win-win.
The taste of the real business world.
Right. Also, just in case anyone's curious, on Saturday, there is an Atlanta streetcar walking tour. So you can learn more about what's going to be happening with the streetcar on that. And that's at 10 a.m. And again, for details on all this stuff, you just want to go to atlantadowntown.org. So I think that's about
it. .com.
I'm sorry, .com. It's I got okay. .org from it's the okay. theater. It's early. I'm calling people by the wrong names. It's what I do here.
And I want to make sure that we give everybody the Ellis website again.
Yep, www.ellishotel.com.
Excellent.
And, of course, don't forget about the Terrace restaurant over there, too.
Yes.
Delicious.
Absolutely. Well, thanks, Dana. This has been a great show. You've been listening to Business Radio X, a proud 2012 member of Central Atlanta Progress. Learn more about Central Atlanta Progress at atlantadowntown.com. And be sure to stay tuned for Southern Hospitality. Coming up next, I'm Elizabeth Gordon.
And I'm Dana Barrett.
Have a great morning, and we'll talk to you next week.